The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views of the show's host and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the management, owners, or staff of this radio station. And now, it came from the radio.
Everyone, Yappa Toy. This is Mark Torres with Came From The Radio. Welcome to our 20th anniversary live stream special. It's been 20 years since we've hosted a show. I started 20 years ago in a little radio station with WGBB, and I'm here with a couple of my co-hosts from past and present. So first, I want to introduce my Ed Norton to my Ralph Cramden, my Art Carney to my Jackie Gleason. The man who, without this, the show would not have been possible in any way, shape, and form. We have Hassan, the man on the inside, Godwin.
Which one am I? Am I Cramden or am I Norton?
You're Norton. Norton. It's okay. My show, you're Norton.
All right, fair. I'll just start mispronouncing words and phrases for the rest of the show.
And we also have the backbone of the show and its inception. Without her, I don't know where I would be. She was an integral part of the show. She did so much hard work, and she was super, super, super appreciated by myself, Hassan. And she actually used to go to comic book stores and make on-the-spot segments. We used to call her the woman on the street. We have none other than Jennifer Smith. Say hi, Jennifer. Jennifer's there.
Hi.
Jennifer has a bad audio connection, so this is going to be great. But she's there. Hi, Jennifer. See if you can get to a better spot where you can get like a better Wi-Fi.
Somewhere.
Okay, well, she's there.
She's there.
Can you hear me?
We feel her.
Yes.
We feel your presence.
I don't know.
You might want to, I guess we'll keep the video off for you, because that way it might help with the speed. And also, we have, where's my button? Also, we have our senior correspondent, who is the bridge from the original show, which we started out as the Comic Book Novice, and became It Came From The Radio all those years later. We have none other than senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino.
Hello, fun seekers. How are you? I'm thrilled to be here. I feel like the Brady Bunch. There's a story.
Also, in the waiting room, we have our new latest addition to the show, L-Man Jenny Feldy. She's an actress, filmmaker, producer, stand-up comedian. I think that's everything. Did I miss something? And, let's see. L-Man Jenny Feldy, say hi.
I'm a nice Latin person. Singer. Oh, thank you.
You're a Latin singer.
I mean, technically. I have one Latin song, so sure, right?
Yes.
Whatever. I'll be like the new Chet Hanks, but like J-Lo style.
Oh, and look at it right now. So we also have our Dominic Definition Man Sperano.
Oh.
Coming to the stream.
How's it going, Dominic?
Hey, Son, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Just remember, it's just a movie, man.
We'll see.
All right, so on this week's show, 20th anniversary, we're going to discuss us, our show, how it came to be, thoughts, and we have a little surprise in the middle. I'm hoping we're going to get some more co-hosts to join us, but right now this is what we have. Actually, let's see if this shows up. Congratulations, 20 years. Yeah, woo. Party, party, party. Oh, okay, I got comments and everything. This is fun. All right, so I guess we should start with how the show came to be. 20 years ago, on this very day, actually before 20 years, I would say, how long ago was it, Hassan? I would say 21 years, maybe?
Maybe about 21 years. It's been a long time. It's been a long time.
Well, if it's been 21 years, what are we doing here then? Like, we missed our chance.
Well, this is the 21st of the first show.
This is not my gig.
I approached Mr. Hassan Godwin, and I said, Hassan, why don't you tell the story of what I said, Hassan?
Yeah, I got a phone call, and basically I thought he was joking. And he said, I have an idea. I want to do a radio show. I want us to, you know, do a weekly radio show. And I was like, oh, sure, that's a great idea, figuring that it was just going to be another one of those things that just fall through and just disappears without a trace. And forgot all about it. And then about 30 days later, I got a phone call. It's like, ah, by the way, we're going this. I forget which day it was. Was it a Wednesday? It was like a Wednesday.
Yep.
Or yeah. It's like, ah, by the way, this is happening this Wednesday. And I'm
out
like,
in the middle of the island.
Yes, in the middle of, was it Babylon?
Yeah.
Babylon,
no,
New York.
Freeport. It was Freeport.
Freeport, yeah. It was before the Babylon.
It was not Freeport.
Yes.
It was way further out.
No. It became way further out, but it was Freeport beforehand. And then they moved because the station, they bought a new building. And they moved to the new location. And what was interesting about that is that we were there while they were building the new studio. So in one show, it was a big room. And our engineer, Tom Ross, was actually sitting across from us. There was no booth. It was a table. And he was sitting on the other side of the table pretending that there was a booth there. And we were having a show. And he was like standing right in front of me. I'm like, well, why don't you just say something? And he was like, I'm an engineer. And then the next week, there was a wall there.
The only thing I knew was this was never going to last.
Was he like...
This nonsense. This is not going to work. This will never work. We'll never do this again.
Was he like Les Nesmith when you had a knock on a wall, like, or something like that? He had no office?
Exactly. So, Hassan, why don't you share, I guess, the biggest memory of the 20 years that you've been on the air?
Well, I didn't do any homework. I did no homework for it. I showed up.
Think back. What do you remember?
Basically, the new place. I think the new Babylon place was just like this strange location that had no street angles. It was like it was all curved streets that curved into each, you know, and the main street ended up in the middle of a highway. It was just the weirdest thing. And
let's not forget that parking lot.
Yeah, I was about to get to the parking lot. The murder parking lot. And Ambush Alley, which was that little walkway from behind the parking lot to the front. And I remember just getting there the first day and thinking, this is a joke. There's no radio equipment in this place.
This is Mark going to kill everybody?
Yeah, even though there was this giant radio tower.
The
back.
Yeah, yeah. It was a radio tower.
But I just figured this wasn't real. And then we went inside. It was actually more radio station-esque than the Freeport place.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was as many as I would be many times since proven quite wrong about how I felt about the place. But it was a strange place, and it got stranger as the longer we stayed there, the stranger the place got.
Yeah.
But it was very, you know, it was that I think that was my that's the most indelible memory I have of just that place, that parking lot, not thinking I was in the right place for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
Very tentatively approaching that building. And like, I don't know how I should approach this place. Where should I enter? Should I knock? All those things.
Yep.
So that's my, that was my boldest memory about that.
All right, Jennifer.
I remember the guy who aired ahead of us. All he did was cover Little League games, and he had such a following.
That's right.
And there was just like little boy gold always in a studio right ahead of us. Well, and then they would rush out, and it would just be like deserted country. Nobody around. It was just really weird.
That was halftime like, Howie.
Pedophilia Ahoy, and then nothing.
Pedophilia
Ahoy, and then nothing.
I haven't thought about Halftime Howie in about 20 years. So.
Halftime Howie, yes!
How the year
Howie.
Was raining.
Yes.
I remember people calling in to comment on all the arguments me and Zahn used to get into, and their main objection used to be my high-pitched voice. That used to be it. Head. And our main objection, not that she's wrong, is her high-pitched voice. Other stuff, I remember going to all the Comic Cons and like people used to recognize me because of my high pitched voice and be like, oh yeah, you're that girl. And all the wrestlers used to love me.
Yes, they did.
I used to meet all of them, and Jerry, your friend, used to be like so excited about it because I used to get him all these like autographs.
Yeah,
I remember that. And I knew nothing about wrestling.
That was a perfect place to start.
Yes, that was the whole point, because you, Jennifer, were the comic book novice. That was the idea. Mm-hmm. So that way, so someone who knows nothing about the pop culture world or comics at the time, so that way we can explain to you, and therefore the audience, you were the audience, see?
Yeah, course, they hated me.
Mark knew that. He didn't really explain that to us, typical Mark fashion. Like yeah. he had his whole ideology behind the show, but he never really explained it to the people on the show.
But Mark, he explains stuff to you off the show, on the show? Like, he hasn't explained anything to me.
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying. No, this is the first time hearing that Jennifer was actually the comic novice. This is the first time I've
been
told that.
This is the first time you're remembering this conversation.
That is true. My memory is quite compromised over the years. So it could be that you explained everything to me in great detail. And I just
comic book novice.
It was for, by, and about. So, senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino, why don't you share how you got involved in a memory from us 20 years ago. Well, actually, you were 10 years ago, I think, right?
Oh, it was a little over 10 years, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, over 10 years. Well, I grew up with Herman, who was
Herman
a co-host on, right, who was one of the original co-hosts of the show, and he said to me one day, hey, I have this radio show, and you should come. It's all about science fiction, and it's great. So you should come down and visit with me one time. So that's what I did. I came down, and I sat in the corner. And the only one I was impressed with was Hassan. I never really liked you, Mark. Still don't. But I was just impressed with Hassan. And then it was like stuff that I didn't know about. You guys were amazing. And so I sat there for a little while, and then we left. And then one of your guys left the show. And Herman said, you want to be on the show? And I said, yeah, it sounds great. I went there. I had my little notes, right, Hassan? I had all my notebooks and stuff like that. And then I just realized, throw them out. throw them the hell out, you know?
It's not that kind of an operation.
Yeah.
That was the best part about you, Charlie, the little notebook. Yeah, I was like, oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, and I used to
definitely
do...
Definitely not that kind of operation.
Yeah, I used to do that thing from the Post. I used to come in with all the weird stuff. And then I just said, you know what? Just talk about things. And then I realized I didn't know what they were talking about because it was so intricate. They were so into the thing. So what I started doing is when Mark asked me, you know, what do you think? And I said, oh, I'm sorry, Mark, I wasn't listening. And that became the thing. That became the thing. And our engineer kept saying, yeah, keep doing that, you know, but I would get in there with the movies. And but my best memory of that place, like Hassan said, it was very weird. I remember before we started, it was we were there at midnight or something. One of our many times was midnight. And I came in and the lights were out in the bathroom. So you had to estimate, you know. So I'm in there and I look right next to me and there's this floating apparition.
No.
It's a figure of a guy and it's pitch black in there. So now I'm saying to myself, self, don't show this thing that you're afraid of it. Meanwhile, I'm going to the bathroom at the time and it was one of these long beard things. you know, like when you have to urinate a long time. And I'm saying, oh, please make this be over because I want to get out. And I'm still looking at this thing. Finally, I ran out of there. I opened the door to see if there was anything like coats hanging on the other side. Maybe it was me. There was nothing. So I didn't say anything because I figured people were going to be thinking I'm crazy. The next week I get there, Herman grabs me by the door and he says, don't say anything, but I was just in the bathroom and I saw a ghost. It was just floating there. But and I said, all right, Herman, don't say anything to anybody. They're going to think we're crazy. Don't say anything. He says, okay. We walk into the studio. One step into the studio, he goes, hey, Tom, what's the story with the ghost in the bathroom?
Tom
goes, oh, that's Charlie. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
You think Charlie's the ghost?
And it seems that that building had a ghost in it.
Ghost named Charlie, who was a low-level mob.
Yeah.
And got buried underneath
the mountain. Yeah, Tom would
a
be
a low-level what?
Yeah.
A low-level mob guy.
Yeah. Oh. The story
that place was...
He was buried in cement in that corner of the building. But Tom would say nonchalantly.
This studio couldn't afford a high-level mob guy. That's terrible.
They couldn't afford a real mob guy,
so they got a low-level mob guy.
Tom would tell me very nonchalantly, yeah, when I'm here after 1 o'clock at night, he rustles all the papers in the background and he throws them on the floor and he comes around. And I'm thinking, you still stay there? You know, were you one of the people that bought the Amityville Horror and stayed there? You know, I was like, but that was my most memorable moment in that place. Besides being with you guys, I had a blast.
A little bit of context. Herman Schempsenertia was a movie theater projectionist when I used to work at the movie theater. And he happens to be, if you wrestling fans out there, the brother of Taz. And he's also the uncle of Hook, who's on AEW right now. And we were talking about doing the show. And we were in transition from the comic book novice. And he was like, yeah, let's go. We want to do the show. Let's go. We're going to move on this day. We're going to be here on this day. We're going to do the show. But we need a new name. I want to give it a new name. And myself, Hassan, Herman, we all try to think of a name. And we each one of us came up with a new name for the show. And then because we worked in a movie theater, it was a Thursday night. So we were going to premiere a movie. I don't even know what movie it was. And we gave it to the audience of all the employees by applause. We were going to rename the show, and it came from radio, was that name. So I don't even know which one of us came up with the name. Do you remember that, Hassan?
I do not.
Do you remember that story at all?
I do remember the story and the circumstance. I lean towards it, the name being your idea, but I don't remember who came up with the idea ultimately. The name.
Right. No. And then, so Herman, being Herman, he's like, we have to make it on this particular day. And he's like, I can't make it on this day after we all changed our schedules. And that's why Charlie stayed on.
Yeah, he changed it twice. And then after he changed, I can make it this day, definitely. We changed and he goes, I can't make it. I'm like,
yeah.
You guys all thought of a name for it. But growing up with Herman, I just called him Nut Job. I used to be like, whoa, Nut Job, what are you doing today? You know? And I used to love the skirmish. He used to get in with Hassan. That was worth the price of admission. And I don't know how Hassan's head didn't explode. Yeah. I don't know. Hassan, I don't know how your head didn't explode with some of those confrontations.
Yeah, I was younger then. it would totally explode now. I wouldn't even be able to last 5 minutes with Herman right now. Yeah. I just do not have the stamina for it.
So
when's Herman coming out?
Dominic actually had the pleasure of meeting Herman one time at the Grindhouse radio station. So yeah. Dominic, why don't you share how you came to be at the show, and why don't you tell us one of your favorite memories of the show?
You reached out to me. You got in touch with me. You were looking for guests, if I recall, and you got in touch with me through my Pronto Comics email. And you were like, hey, do you want to I have this radio show. Do you want to be on it? I was like, sure, I'll be on this radio show. And it was, I want to say, February 13th, 2014, I think it was, that I came on. I think it was like right, or like February 15th. It was right around Valentine's Day. So as much as it's a 20-year anniversary, it's like a 9-year anniversary for me to be on the show. I came on, and just like Hassan said, I'm like, am I in the right place? Where is it? Okay, this looks like a rundown house. And I walk in the front door, and I'm like, it still looks like a rundown house. Everything looks rundown. And then I walk in, I meet you, and I sit down, and it's like, oh, okay, I guess this is live radio. All right. Not anything like I thought it was going to look like to be in a radio station. And I think we did the news, and then you interviewed me about like Pronto Comics and how everything got started and where it was going. And then when we got off and we finished the show, you're like, oh, you can actually talk. I was like, yes, can everybody?
No. You thought you hired a mute guy?
Yeah.
No, there's not everybody could talk.
Not everyone could talk. And he's like, oh, no, we get people on here. And it's like, you got to pull answers out of them. And I'm like, wow. Oh. He's like, no, you can actually expound on it. And like, you can talk about things. I'm like, yeah, of course I can talk. I thought like it was the weirdest thing. And then I think you asked me back in the following June to be a guest co-host and review Edge of Tomorrow, which was okay at best. And then about a year or so later, like you'd keep having me come on to co-host a little here, a little there. You asked me to be a permanent co-host. And you gave me some line of bull hockey of like, oh, there was a meeting between you and Charlie, and you were like testing me out, seeing if
I was good. It actually, that's actually true.
And I asked Charlie, he's like, there's no meeting. I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
This never happened. It's just, you were always going to be the guy. Never worry about it. Like, oh, okay. All right. And that's where I realized like there's what is reality, and then there's reality in Mark's head. Two different things.
Mark's reality is reality. He just doesn't share it with us.
Right.
He just doesn't let us know that it is the reality.
There's what is actually happening, and then there's what Mark will tell you is going to happen. And then it's always like, Mark, why didn't you say that? Like, well, you should have known. How come you didn't know? You should have. Like, Mark, where's Charlie tonight? I don't know. He should know to come on. I'm like, and there it has been like the past 8 years of me just like riding Mark of like, Mark, what are you doing? I think that would be the constant theme of me now as the co-host of the show is anytime I'm on, just looking at Mark going like, what are you doing? What's going on? Didn't you check? And it's always like, oh, you should have known. I'm like, you got to check. You got to ask. And that's been my constant, like, number one aggravation, which has made for very good radio. The second thing was like the first time we went to Grindhouse and we did like a little test. And it was a 5-minute test, and within 30 seconds, I was already berating Mark about his terrible taste in movies. And when we did the test, and we took the test, and the engineer at the time was like, well, that's gold. You guys, that's gold right there. I was like, okay, we're good. And then, yeah, I met Herman at Grindhouse, and I thought I was tough on Mark. And then Herman comes on, and I'm like, oh, this show is not even in the mirror. It's not even in a car ride to the train station. That's how far off the rails it got within the first 10 seconds of me meeting Herman and Herman just going on some kind of tangent that no mathematician could actually complicate. It just went off somewhere. I'm like, oh, okay. It's
really strange. I remember Herman being ultra focused the entire time. And...
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
Adderall.
Wow,
the only person who has not
that was that was the best description of that.
Yeah, I'd like to meet him.
So, Elman Jenny Feldy, why don't you tell us a little bit?
Taking us on a tour of Feldy Land.
The show.
Yeah,
it's been like watching like her feed. It's been basically just some sort of supernatural cosmic tour of her house with crazy little mood lighting and you don't know if you've dropped psychedelics or what's going on.
So why don't you share one of your stories from the Came From the Radio and how you got involved with us in a little project.
I'm trying to think of, well, this thing that I wanted to talk about, I can't really talk about. But, because, like, all the best things you really can't mention, like, someone being mad about you giving them free publicity, not going to mention them names. You know, sometimes you'll do a little special on someone, and they're like, you didn't do 45 minutes on me, you only did 20 minutes. That's someone that we
dealt with. Oh, that's the stuff you remember. Okay.
No, that's one thing that comes to mind. But, gotcha. You know, the conventions have been great. You know, Charlie, Mark's, it's a really fun chemistry. You know, we're all different in different ways, and I like how we bounce off each other. Yeah, it's actually been cool.
The first time you were on the show.
The first time?
It was literally like 2 months before the hell went in a handbasket of the world.
Pandemic, yeah.
Yeah, it was January 2020. And you came
there was Sunrise Mall, I think, was one?
No,
and
the
then
first
Grindhouse,
yeah.
Oh, Grindhouse was one, and then Sunrise?
I think so, yeah. You came to Grindhouse, and then, like, before we knew it, like, everything went south with the world. And then
yeah.
You were close. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and I was staring at a meme in an empty parking lot the day before the pandemic was declared, and it was something like, I wish the world stopped or something. I had, like, the busiest week ever. I was like, it would just be so great if everything just stopped. And I was thinking of it. I'm like, it was like an 80s movie in this empty parking lot.
This whole thing is your fault.
Yeah, oh, the next thing, Joe Rogan has a 3-hour thing about a pandemic. And I'm like, huh, okay.
So it was you, Jen. All right.
Yeah, it was Jen.
Good job.
Jen's fault. Everything is Jen's fault.
Is so we could do everything from my couch, and I used to floss during the show, but apparently you can hear the flossing sounds. I can't floss during the show anymore.
Which is actually a good segue. What we used to do at conventions, our engineer, Brian Graves, we used to go down to the studio and we used to listen to clips of old shows and make a best of. And so Brian put some clips of the old show, and then our current editor, Abby Gabato, put a little extra bit on it. So we're going to play that right now.
All right.
You in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
This is Time Off, a.k.a. Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon, and you're listening to It Came From The Radio.
Hi, this is Sue Lee from Face Off Season 2. You're listening to It Came From The Radio.
Hello, and welcome once again to It Came From The Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking.
What is wrong?
I knew he was going to like this.
With everybody and the tweeting, that's A. First of all, what's wrong with Shia LaBeouf, who's been around? He's worked with everyone. He's worked with Will Smith. He's worked with Steven Spielberg, Michael Bay, everybody. Everybody. He's Indiana Jones' son, for goodness sake. Okay? He worked with Michael Douglas. He worked with everybody.
That's right.
Okay? How come he doesn't know you can't just plagiarize a movie and put it out, be high profile, and get away with that? How come he never came across that in his travels?
Maybe no one told him.
That's baloney.
Is somebody using a buzzsaw that we don't know about, or a dog crying?
I think there's a dog somewhere nearby.
Oh, wow. My God, you can hear that?
Yes. Yes, we can hear that.
Obviously, we just found out where the problem is.
And super awesome girl, Amber Benson. Say hi, Amber.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Amber, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Little slice of heaven.
It's monsoon season over here in New York, so it was great getting down here.
Are you guys freezing? I don't want to tell you how hot it is in Los Angeles.
Yes. Amber, what is your final thought? Yes.
My final thought? Well, I'm just so pleased that I got to spend the afternoon with you guys. This was really lovely. You guys had wonderful questions, and you guys are so articulate and sweet, and it's much appreciated. Thank you.
I'm 32, which isn't old, I don't think, but as far as social network goes, I feel like a dinosaur. Like, you know, I go on Facebook, I don't know. You know, I posted that I'm going to be here on Facebook. My brother liked it. I don't know.
Wow, I have concert shirts older than you.
Actor Ricardo Medina Jr., best known for his role as Cole Evans on Power Rangers Wild Force, was arrested last week Saturday.
Oh, I'm so glad you got this, because I saw this.
After a fight between himself and a roommate, Joshua Sutter. Police said that Ricardo tried to hide inside his bedroom with his girlfriend, but Sutter forced his way into the door, and then Medina stabbed him with a sword.
A samurai sword.
A samurai sword.
Was it a Power Ranger samurai sword?
From the Yes, It Really Did Happen department. All right. A 27-year-old woman in South Carolina was arrested and jailed last week because she failed to return a VHS copy of the movie Monster in Law that she rented from a local independent video store in 2005.
That's not why she was arrested.
That was why.
Because
the warrant
she didn't
was out.
Rewind it. That was the thing.
The movie, yeah. I can say, was all right. It's not as bad as everybody's saying. It looked visually, amazing, but that's kind of expected when you have a movie of this caliber. Yeah.
You're
felt that the
like John Carter territory where it's like, well, this is really not that
bad. A little under John Carter. But it was, I saw it in
under John Carter.
I like John Carter. I really did. I was like, this is an enjoyable movie and I was all with it and everybody was happy.
Yeah,
this one was
saying
a little, for my entertainment value, was a little under John Carter because I didn't feel that there was any type of chemistry between the two leads, so that kind of takes away from something when the two leads have no chemistry at all.
Yeah.
Between Channing Tatum and Hotmail Lacunas, I just didn't see it.
I think her name is Mila Kunis.
She had it legally changed. Oh, here's something. Mr. T is set to star in his own do-it-yourself home renovation show called I Pity the Tool. I Pity the Tool. Yes, you got it.
We're going to take our break. We'll be right back with Game Fun Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is Todd McFarlane of the record-setting Spawn comic series. And if you're looking for any kind of cool conversation about creators, about entertainment, about all that good stuff, you go to It Came From the Radio. You're listening to the right spot.
Hi, this is Lance Fensterman. I'm president of Reed Pop, and I run New York Comic Con, and I want to tell Mark and the entire team at It Came From the Radio, congratulations on 20 years. Look at this. I mean, in 12 months, you'll be able to drink legally as a podcast and a radio show. It's impressive. I remember way back in the early days of New York Comic Con when we had Podcast Alley, and there you were anchoring it. And I mean that in a good way, not weighing it down. And look at you now. All grown up and through puberty. Congratulations. It's a huge accomplishment. Well done.
Hi, this is Tammy Stronach, best known for playing the childlike empress in The NeverEnding Story and upcoming Man and Witch fantasy film. You are listening to It Came From the Radio.
Hi, this is Alok Mishra, one of the producers of the film 1BR, which is now streaming on Tubi and Peacock. We'd like to give our heartfelt congratulations to Mark Torres and his incredible team at It Came From the Radio on their 20th anniversary. Here's to many more. Cheers.
This is Gray Griffin, and you're listening to It Came From the Radio.
Hey, guys, this is Kari Payton. You're listening to It Came From the Radio, so keep listening.
Hi, I'm David Barish, president of Crowdfunder, the creator-friendly crowdfunding platform. 2003 was a big year for me. I sold my first company and my house, moved to California, and started a new life and a new job. Lots has changed since then, but one thing has stayed consistently great since 2003, and that is It Came From the Radio with host Mark Torres. Congratulations on an amazing 20 years, and I look forward to listening to you well into the future.
Hi, this is Aaron Gray from Buck Rogers in the 25th Century, and you're listening to It Came From the Radio.
Sword of Omens, come to my hand. I, Lion-O, command it. Hi, everybody, this is Larry Kenny, the voice of Lion-O on Thundercats, and you're listening to It Came From the Radio.
Hey, guys, this is Mike Kingston, writer and creator of Headlock Comics. I want to congratulate It Came From the Radio on 20 awesome years. Not many people know this, but way, way back when I got started, These guys gave me my very first interview. A couple more after that, too. And for that, I'll always be grateful. Here's to 20 more years, guys.
Hi, this is Amy Jo Johnson, writer-director from the film The Space Between, and you're listening to It Came From the Radio.
Me Grimlock having fun on It Came From the Radio.
Me Greg Berger also.
Well, hello there, Apple Biteys. This is Rit and Rit Ralph here from Bitten Apple TV, just wanting to say happy anniversary, It Came From the Radio. We love you guys, and if it wasn't for you and your partnership with us, we wouldn't be where we are today. That's why I always am grateful for It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. You should be listening and having fun and geeking out and enjoying all things.
This is the Amazing Question, and you're listening to It Came From the Radio.
Now, back to our show.
Mark Shatner, how are you?
Hello, Mr. Shatner. How are you doing today?
I'm so well. Thank you so much.
Really appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your time to be on our show.
I'm very grateful that you're able to do it.
Shifting gears for a second. You have done...
Changing what?
Changing gears, shifting gears on the... On
oh,
the,
you're going to shift gears?
Yes, on the
I was in overdrive there.
Writer, director, actress, producer, singer, mom. It is none other than Amy Jo Johnson. Say hi, Amy.
Hi.
How are you?
Are we live?
We are live, on the air.
Okay.
On the flip side, I'm sure, even though you really don't do conventions too much, because I know that's not
I've
your
done
thing.
One.
You've
yeah.
done one convention all this time.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's been some men that come to you and be like,
oh, yeah, are you kidding? Power Rangers 20 years ago, that was a little boy show mostly, right? I don't know.
So how do you deal with that?
Or how does your husband deal with
that? They're like, oh, you were my first crush. And it's like in my head, I'm like, I know exactly what that means. I don't really want to think about it.
All right. Well, I'm going to put you on the spot now,
uh-oh,
Amy, because I know your movies are going to be a success. Even success. Sorry, Rented Lips. But anyway, this is what I'm putting you on the spot. The pizza party in New York.
Yeah.
Would you invite us?
Do you guys want to come to my pizza party?
We would cover it so
we would
so
cover it. We would cover it. And oh my God, it would, you talk about a promotion. Oh my God. And besides, I'm Italian. I'm in, you know, pizza.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's got to be good pizza. Maybe you can recommend the right pizza spot.
Oh my God, I can. Are you kidding me? If you saw the size of me, you'd know I'm the best man for the job here. But, yeah, so I'm putting you on a spot right now. I will get you the pizza place and everything like that if we get invited to this.
How many are you?
Two.
Just two. Oh, you guys can come for sure.
All right. Well, then, you know, don't lie to me, Amy.
I'm not lying. Yeah, you guys can come.
I have to ask you one final question before we go off the air. Amy, Joe, what time is it?
What time is it?
Yes, what time is it?
4:57.
Oh my God! You just ruined my. You're supposed to say it's morphin' time. You know that was my whole.
Oh!
I was playing this the whole week. I was like, I can't believe you're gonna ask me.
It's morphin' time.
Thanks. Oh my God! Well, that. All right. We have such a large show today because later on in the show,
unbelievably special.
We
show
have
today.
The girls from Magic
yes.
Garden. Carol Demas and Paula Janis.
We got it, Paul.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this is going to happen.
It's nice to say hello, 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 hello. It's nice to say hello, hello, and how are you? It's nice to shake your hand, shake hands, shake hands. It's nice to shake your hand, shake hands, and how do you do? I'm fine, me too. We're fine, and how are you? I am fine, me too. We're fine, and how are you? And hello, Mark and Charlie.
And Brian and Hassan.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So yeah, it's a little walk down memory lane for the show.
That was pretty funny stuff.
Listening to?
Yeah.
You're listening to It Came From the Radios do you have?
We have 28.
Quite a few. God. Yeah, a guy who spent the last 7 years cutting them together. There are quite a few of them.
And I love that you have that, like, you know, big name guests. You have literally 20 seconds of Bill Shatner and like 5 minutes of Amy Jo Johnson.
Bill Shatner. That was actually
friggin' Kirk.
You know, that was actually
Amy Jo Johnson was Mark's Bill Shatner, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
That was his equivalent.
Yeah, Mark like, is a big
Mark Hamill interview in that.
So Mark Hamill is an interesting thing. He was, we interviewed him at the, it's funny you mentioned that. That was one of the things I have to bring up, my Mark Hamill story. He was in a round table, and I forget why he wasn't included in the clips, but it might have been we recorded it afterwards. But we were at New York Comic Con, and we saw a person dressed up as a gazelle walking the floor on, like, stilts, walking around. And they were like, if you like some free comics, follow us. I was like, I would like some free comics. Let's go. And it was me, Charlie, Maria DeSoto. We went down, and people were signing books. It was Chris Montonzi, I believe. They were making a new book called New Gen. It was connected to Marvel Comics in some way, shape, or form. And they were going to have a panel. And we were like, oh, what's going on here? And I believe it was our senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino, who said, we're press and we're interested in finding out what's going on. And out of nowhere, this lady appears, your guys are press. Would you like to interview Mark Hamill?
And it was like, yes, we will. Yes, we do. And then she said, oh, where would you like to sit? And I said, well, I can't hear very well, so... And I think they put you guys right next to him, right?
Wanted to be in the front. So yeah. Yes. So we went to the panel, which was interesting because the panel, Mark Hamill was there, but they said no Star Wars questions, only about this project that no one ever knew, ever heard about because of a brand new project. So that was an interesting panel. And then we got to go to the exclusive interview, which we were a table read. So we got a little round table. And it was myself, Hassan, Jeff Gomez was there, right?
I thought Jeff Gomez was the one who got us that interview in my recollection.
It was a lady that appeared out of nowhere. I remember because you were like, we saw him. And you're like, hey, I know you. We're like, hey, Jeff. Jeff was the one that got you into the room.
Okay.
Charlie, there's someone behind you, Charlie.
So we all sat. We all sat down, little thing. And it was myself. Hassan was to my right. And then Mark Hamill sits down right next to Hassan. And I always love the story because this is my first time ever seeing Kid Hassan come out. And he had the biggest grin on his face. And he was just sitting there. He was all excited. He was just imbuing happiness and joy from Hassan, which was an amazing thing.
He touched me on my shoulder. And that was...
That's where he touched you now? It was a different part. You said many a time, and I repeated this story many a time. Would you like me to repeat that for you?
I don't know. I'm worried about what you think. What you think he touched me, but go ahead.
You said our butt cheeks touched. That's what you said. Because you were sitting so close.
Rough.
On the chair.
All right.
So we were all in a circle.
Pretty sure I didn't say that on air, though.
So but, I had my digital recorder, and there was like about five other reporters, right, Hassan? Mm-hmm.
They were quite
all there. They were all there. And I look around. Nobody says anything. So I go, I might as well ask my question. So I ask my question. And apparently Mark Hamill likes to talk. So he talked. I don't even think he answered my question. But he just went.
He didn't.
And then he finished answering the question. I took a beat. I took a moment. I looked around once again. Nobody else said anything. So I'm like, I might as well ask another question. I asked a second question. And once again, and I don't think he answered that question either. And then the lady came over, and she said, you're out of time. And all those people looking at me, if looks could kill.
Yeah, it was pretty rough. I felt bad for them. I mean, Mark had, like, these really long-winded you know, what's the stream of consciousness kind of answers, you know, where he just went kind of everywhere in the midst of trying to coalesce this. Yeah, exactly. And
to be specific, he's talking about Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill. Yeah. Mark Hamill.
Yeah,
both of them.
Must be
so,
something in the name.
Yes.
Us Kmart.
Very possible.
Yeah.
But yeah, between that and the Magic Garden ladies, those were my favorite moments on the show. My most memorable was approaching that building for the first time. But my favorite moments were Mark Hamill and I got the Magic Garden ladies to actually say my name. Hassan is not a common name. So when I used to watch that show as a child, there was a lot of Marks and Christophers and Bobby Peters and George. And yeah.
Wait,
and
Ashley, not to be good or anything, but I'm kind of doing a live broadcast on a radio show.
What was that? Say that again?
Repeat that? Or not.
We lost her.
Don't repeat that.
Say it again, Jen. Say it again.
Who, me?
Yes, you.
I had to kick someone out. They were being super loud, and then they got offended and left.
Well, just like a real live radio show.
But seriously, I'm doing a podcast, and they're playing with a hula hoop, and I don't know, gossiping with their mom. I don't know.
So,
And nothing to do with comic books, though.
Okay, I gotta make some notes. Our first curse on the show was none other than Jimmy Palmiotti. He cursed, I think it was our fourth or fifth show in. Jimmy cursed on the air, and our engineer, I've never seen a man move that fast in my life, because he had 7 seconds to hit the button. And he had to go hit the button to prevent the curse. The most curses we've ever had in an interview was 34 in a 30-minute interview, which was by Christopher Kamen Lee, who was the
Redskins. Oh, my God, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You want to share a little bit about that story there, Charlie?
Oh, my God. Every other word, it was like rapid fire. It was like an automatic machine gun. And I'm like, I'm like this. Oh, my God. Yeah. It was amazing. It was like, well, we were in Brooklyn. We were on the streets of Brooklyn.
But the beauty of it was.
That's a good excuse.
The beauty of it was that it was a really good interview.
It was. So it was.
I can't not use this.
Right, exactly. We had to use it because it was a brilliant interview. It was just every other word was like, whoa. So.
Best interview.
I would have been taken.
Never aired. What was that?
I would have been taking notes.
You would have been taking notes? Yeah.
I would have been taking notes.
Best interview was one that never actually aired. It was one I went to San Diego Comic-Con in 2008.
And how could it be the best interview
that I ever had? It was Robert Culp, the late Robert Culp. It's on an audio cassette tape, so I have to find it, digitize it, and then I can finally air it. But yeah, it's one of the best interviews I ever done. Robert Culp was from I Spy. What was the other show that he was in? Man from U.N.C.L.E.? Was that him also? No.
The Greatest American Hero.
Greatest American Hero. And everybody loves Raymond. He played Deborah's father.
Yeah.
And Charlie, do you remember when we did the live show at a convention and we were running up and down? And we had Kara the intern. And we had
my
Brian
God,
the engineer.
Yeah. It was at the Cradle of Aviation. It was like, it was insane running up and down those things, and it worked out well, I think. The interview worked out well. I think it was groundbreaking for any radio show.
At the time, because I think we had one person in the studio. I think you were on the phone, Hassan. And then myself and Charlie were at two different conventions at the same time, running back and forth, trying to get interviews in a live show.
So, right, Mark would do the interview. When he did the interview, I would run downstairs in the Cradle of Aviation, get the next interview. I'd interview. Mark would be running someplace else. And it worked out well. That guy who was our engineer, I forgot his name,
but he did
a great job. Yeah, yeah. But it was a lot of running.
It
worked out well.
Where I finally met you, Charlie. Like you were searching for me for the entire con, and then you finally met me in the parking lot.
Yeah.
That was
Miltos.
That was
a Terrorcon. Yeah, that was right. And me and Dom, like, were never meeting. Every time Dom was on the show,
for some reason,
I wasn't there.
Yeah.
And we were actually in the parking lot. Are you Dom? Yeah, are you Charlie? Hey, you know, nice to meet you.
And that's how I met Charlie.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I met Don until, like, 2 years in. Person.
Yeah.
And,
it was me calling him.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We actually had, if you guys remember, when we had the blackout in New York City, our show was scheduled to air that day. So I was driving to the studio and all the lights were out.
Yeah.
And of course, I want to give a shout out to Mike Kingston, who was kind enough to give us a 20th anniversary shout out on the little clips there. He has the record for the best non-showing interview. He was supposed to call in to be a guest on the show, and he didn't call in. And we were doing a live show, so you know it is what it is. And I go home, and I was like, "What happened?" Apparently, he was working he was a dock worker at the time, and there was a fire on the docks.
Yeah, that would keep
him. So he had a handle of the dock fire, and I was like, "That's the best excuse ever to miss the show." And this is, you know, back in the day where, you know, email was very limited. You didn't, you know, you don't have phones. So it was so weird that we had somebody miss the show because it was a dock fire. I was
like, fires trump everything.
You win. Yeah. You win.
Fire's getting in the way of a lot of
progress. Where's the fire? On the dock over there.
So, like, do I be a guest on a radio show or do I go do my job and save some lives and put out this fire?
Yeah. I guess he had to be responsible. Why not?
So we're running out of time for this 20th anniversary special.
All this build-up.
Yeah. There you go.
So much for the after.
It's not any different than the past 20 years.
Of course not.
So I guess, let's see. Jenna, are you there?
I think so. That stupid mouse kicks me off one more time.
Yeah, that's how the internet is. It's a sucky internet. But let's try it. So, Jennifer, you want to throw a final thought before we kick it to everybody else? You get the first final thought?
Final thought?
Yeah.
I have no final thoughts. How come, how come those the greatest hits, like, none of me? I come on this show and there's no greatest hits starring me.
Well,
I feel some kind of way about that.
To be fair, Jennifer, what happened was all the clips we had were you and Hassan arguing.
All right.
Keep on.
That's all I got.
What? There was a problem with that? To be fair, like, you always start off with some long, like, grandiose, like, verbal onslaught, and then you just fade off into nowhere. I'm done.
Well, that's Jennifer's final thought. Thank you, Jennifer. L-Man Jenny Fell, do you have any final thoughts?
Well, all I'll say is I'm very thankful I was in that bathroom and saw Charlie that day. And I really got turned on to your radio show. And I'm going to break the silence. I reincarnated into this Jenny Feldy character was in the stupid movie Menagerie. And that was a big part of me. Charlie, get on the show. Thank you very much.
Definition Man Sperano, do you have any final thoughts?
In another 20 years, it'll be fun to finally get one of my interviews on the greatest hits of interviews. That'd be great.
You know,
like Zamo or, you know, like you didn't even know. Like I go to do a convention. John Leguizamo happens to be there. I wasn't even sent there. I was doing the Con for Pronto. It was Mocha Fest. John Leguizamo put out a book. I got an interview. No, do you put it on there? No. I don't know if Bill Shatner after 20 seconds. Like, what's wrong with you?
My final thought. What's wrong with you?
Senior correspondent Charlie Saladino, do you have any final thoughts?
Well, not actually final thought, just a observation. When I worked for ABC, I thought, you know, meeting these celebrities was over. But thanks to this show, not only did a great panel here and meeting and working with you guys, but just the interviews and the conventions, and I'm happy to be part of the show for that. And let's not mention my 1,000 pictures that I take. But yeah, it's been a blast. I hope we go another 20.
Yeah, always great to have you.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we go another 20, then I can be the senior correspondent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can't wait for the 40th when, again, I won't be featured in any greatest clips.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can't wait for that.
I interviewed, like, everyone from The Sopranos. Not one of those was in one of the clips.
No, I heard a high voice at one point.
And I might say you did a great job with that, Dom.
Thank you.
Excellent job.
Yeah.
Mr. Hassan Godwin, do you have any final thoughts?
I just love how everything that comes out of everybody's mouth is seethe.
We're not here out of mutual love. We're here out of mutual annoyance.
It brings back every memory.
Very funny.
Imaginable. It's fantastic. And of course, my final thought is, I hope these are not my final thoughts.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I was hoping you said that. Oh, my favorite, Hassan.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So my final thought is this. I want to thank everybody for making this possible. As I mentioned in the introductions, the show would not be possible with everybody here. I want to give a special shout out to Maria DeSoto, Steve Guillaume, Jaron Smith, Andre Exume, John Guthrie, Brian Kong, Sharon Batson, Jeff Lowe, Abby Gabato, with Nacho Serdian, Peter Palmiotti, and of course Mike Carbonaro, because we are the official radio show of the Big Apple Con. It's been a really good 20 years. I was actually surprised that we found out it was 20 years. And the thing is, the only reason I know it's 20 years is because the very first show we did, we talked about the brand new Daredevil movie. So I have to put a thank you to Ben Affleck and Daredevil, because otherwise I would not have remembered when was the first time we did the show.
Well, it was no Skyline.
It wasn't so because I just hit drinking age.
Yes.
Not because of that.
No.
That's so, right up your alley in movies that you should love. It's terrible.
So let me end with this. So thank you everybody for joining us on the 20th anniversary of our show. Hopefully you'll be joining us for our 40th and 50th and so on and so forth. Make sure you listen to like, share, subscribe on this show. Make sure you go to our website, www.icamefromyear.com. Listen to all the archives. There's tons of shows on there. We have a weekly show. We are in tons and tons of places. So I want to leave with this, and then we will end the stream.
That's a lot of nuts!
You've been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views of the show's hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect that of the management, owners, or staff of the station. We now return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.